Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. It's good to have you joining us this morning for the weekly message. Today's text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 10, a portion of Paul's letter where he talks about weakness and humility. Well, the fireworks are over, but as you drive around town, you can still see the burnout shells of spent fireworks lingering in the yards and in the street in front of some houses. Walk out of the house in the evening and you can still catch a whiff of sulfur in the air and perhaps the lonely pop of a leftover firecracker. Many of us went to the big fireworks display on the 3rd, and it was great, wasn't it? And many more of us stuffed ourselves at cookouts, feasting on burgers, hot dogs, and homemade ice cream. A lot of smaller communities sponsor Independence Day parades in celebration of our nation's birthday. And it's a chance for a lot of folks to be a part of the celebration and participate. They decorate golf carts, lawnmowers, tractors, trailers, even horses with patriotic themes. Then the rest of us gather along the side of the road and watch, waving our flags and cheering as they pass by. Many of our big cities spend thousands of dollars on huge fireworks displays, all trying to outdo each other, and all making the claim that theirs is the biggest and the best. So it strikes me that, in some ways, the 4th of July has turned into a day to show off. This time of year also sees many family reunions, and high school or college class reunions as well. They are often well attended by people all trying to show off how successful they have become by the clothes they wear and the cars that they drive. And there are always those who take the patriotic theme perhaps just a little too far by making statements like, "I'm proud to be an American and live in the greatest country in the world." Now, I feel very fortunate to be an American, but when statements like this are made, it should come as no surprise that Americans are considered juvenile and arrogant in many other parts of the world. Lately, I felt like that perhaps instead of trying to put on a bigger parade or spend more money on fireworks, perhaps we should spend a little more time reflecting on how we got to this moment in history. Pastor and author Leonard Sweet once commented that the Independence Day celebration used to be more of a solemn occasion, a day of prayer and reflection, instead of a national day of bragging. It was a day to contemplate the tremendous political step taken by our forefathers on that day in 1776 that could have cost all of them their lives. Instead of just a time to party, the 4th of July used to be treated with a bit more humility. Specifically, it was a time to remember the responsibility that each American citizen has as a member of a free democratic society. And while it is always popular to think back on the times when our nation was strong and to hold up those moments, we should never forget that there have also been times of weakness. As we reflect back on the history of our nation, we should do so with a great deal of humility, remembering that it became ours as we systematically exterminated the indigenous peoples and built its infrastructure with institutional slavery. Even today, there are many who would say that we continue to exploit the poor and the immigrant. I believe there was a time when a lot more people approached this holiday with a lot more humility and thanksgiving. But humility is not a trait which has much appeal in our postmodern society of today. After all, we all like to believe that we got here by pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, by simply through our own hard work and perseverance. Especially as our economy heats up and we recover from one of the worst recessions since the Great Depression, we like to think of ourselves as a can-do culture. We like to reflect back on our standing in the world and all the good things that America has produced. But humility is not a very popular theme for a parade. Humility suggests weakness. It suggests that there is a limit to what we can do and what we can accomplish. Humility is the admission that there are things we cannot do problems that we cannot solve. And this is in clear contrast to that can-do attitude displayed by most Americans. And as I said earlier, this attitude can come across as a bit arrogant to people from other countries. This is one of the reasons that, especially as an American, this text from today's lesson can be a bit confusing to us, and certainly not the most popular. But I would bet that it was also a bit confusing to the folks in the Corinthian church that Paul was writing to. This discussion all came about because the folks in the Corinth church were trying to engage Paul in a bragging contest. This was an excuse to try to sort out who would be leading and controlling things in the church. Gee, how little has changed in over 2,000 years, huh? But Paul doesn't exactly play fair as he writes to this congregation. As he addresses the latest problem, he takes what appears to be a bragging contest and turns it upside down. Instead of listing all of his accomplishments and talking about his outstanding education and why he is more qualified than anyone else to be in charge and lead the church, he begins to talk about his weaknesses. "Whenever I am weak, that is when I am strong," Paul says. Okay, how should we begin to unpack this statement of Paul's? How do we try to understand his reasoning? Well, perhaps we can look back on some events in our own country's history and see that in times of weakness, we have displayed great strength. All of my life, I have heard people from my father's generation tell stories from their childhoods. Why is it that when they look back on those lean, hard years of the Great Depression, they often remember them fondly? Unlike today, they remember a time when families and communities stuck together and helped one another. Why is it that as the World War II generation recalls our greatest military defeat, the day Pearl Harbor was bombed by the Japanese Empire, they see it as a time when our patriotic spirit peaked and our country was more strongly united than at any point since? Why is it that when many people reflect back on the attack on the World Trade Center in New York City, the thing they remember most is not the number of lives that were lost, but the outstanding heroism shown by the police, the firemen, and all the medical and rescue workers? It was said that this event united our country more than at any time since World War II. Oh, if it had only lasted. These are just a few examples that I thought of when we were weak, but then were made strong. It seems to me that it is when we can clearly see our weaknesses that the focus on our mission is at its strongest. In today's lesson, Paul talks about a vision he had of the third heaven and having been given information that no mortal is permitted to repeat. Verse 4. But instead of letting his ego get the best of him and swelling up with pride, the vision he experienced only serves to remind him of how small he is in the great scheme of things. As he reflects back on his experience, it fills him with awe, and he is humbled by it. As we see many times in Scripture, God hates nothing more than scriptural pride and arrogance. The Pharisees were excellent examples of this kind of an attitude, and this was the main reason Jesus was not accepted as a prophet in his hometown. Theologian Jack Deere once commented that religious pride is the worst form of arrogance. Think back on the people that gave Jesus the most trouble. They were not the thieves, tax collectors, and prostitutes. Rather, they were the people in charge and the good church people of his day. The Pharisees, who thought so highly of themselves and their own piety, were the ones that Jesus rebuked the most strongly. An excellent example can be found with the seven woes recorded in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. Throughout Scripture, the prophets, Jesus, and the apostles repeatedly emphasized the theme that God exalts the humble but opposes the proud. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 6:18. He is able to bring low those who walk in pride. Daniel 4:37. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lonely. Luke 1:52. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. James 4:10. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Luke 14:11. And all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 5b. We can see repeatedly in the Gospels that the strongest rebukes Jesus ever delivered were not to the sexually impure, thieves, or drunkards, but to the spiritually proud. Yet it seems that among all the sins that are acceptable in the church today, religious pride and denominational exclusivity are the most acceptable. That reminds me of one of my favorite jokes. It's one of my favorite jokes because it is like a lot of other humor. It gets uncomfortably close to the truth of what people actually believe. Here it is. Do you know what the definition of a religious cult is? Why, it's the church down the street from ours. It should throw up a big red flag if someone suggests we're the only ones doing things the right way. I have attended some churches where you could feel the smugness when you walked into the room. Religious arrogance has an aroma that can hang around in a room. You can tell when you walk into it that something stinks, but you're just not sure what it is. It's kind of like an experience I had several years ago when I visited one of my church folks. She was a lovely older lady who had several cats. In fact, she had six of them. And it was quite apparent when I walked into her home that she had not changed their litter box for a while. But instead of getting rid of the old litter and putting in fresh, she just hung up one of those air fresheners to try to cover up the obnoxious odor. So now, instead of smelling the litter box, you smelled the litter box and the sweet scent of honeysuckle, which was actually worse than just the cat box smell by itself. Instead of trying to cover up the bad odor, the lady needed to change what was causing the problem in the first place. We Christians need to be very careful anytime we think that our church is somehow more special than others, or more Christian in the way that we do things, worship, and so forth. Or especially if someone in our church claims that the way that we choose to follow Christ is the only right way. People today are looking for genuineness. And the problem with many churches today is that when new people do visit them, they smell something that's just not quite right, and they don't hang around. I believe that the thing we need most in many of our churches today is not a bigger, fancier building or more programs, but a little more humility. I like how Rick Warren defines humility. He says that humility is not thinking less of yourself. Rather, it is thinking of yourself less. So watch out for religious pride. We all have weaknesses, and I would bet that the people around us know what most of them already are, so there really isn't any use of trying to cover them up, hoping that others won't see them. So don't be afraid to let others know what you may be struggling with in your faith, or the weaknesses that you may be trying to overcome. We all have them. Because as Paul observed, it is in our times of weakness that we may find our greatest strength in Christ and our most effective witness to others, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.